Welcome. This would normally be the place where you would find a recording of the last Sunday's worship service. I need to make some huge apologies. We ran into some technical glitches, and we had a recording of the video, but somehow the audio wasn't being sent and recorded, and so I just apologize. But in place of that, I'm going to spend some time re-preaching again the sermon that I preached on Sunday. And so this is the sixth week of our study or preaching series on the book of Ephesians. So let us begin with the reading of the text. This is Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Paul writes, "Keep careful watch over your conduct. Don't act like fools, but like wise and thoughtful people. Make the most of your time, for these are evil days. Don't continue in ignorance, but try to discern the will of God. Avoid getting drunk on wine, that is debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, meditating on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music to God in your hearts. Always give thanks to Abba God for everything, in the name of Jesus our Messiah. Defer to one another out of reverence for Christ. Those of you who are in committed relationships should yield to each other as if to Christ, because you are inseparable from each other, just as Christ is inseparable from the body, the church, as well as being its Savior. As the church yields to Christ, so you should yield to your partner in everything. Love one another as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for it to make it holy, purifying it by washing it with the gospel message, so that Christ might have a glorious church, holy and immaculate, without mark or blemish or anything of that sort. Love one another as you love your own bodies. Those who love their partners love themselves. No one ever hates one's own flesh. One nourishes it and takes care of it as Christ cares for the church. For we are members of Christ's body, as it is written, 'This is why one person leaves home and clings to another, and the two become one flesh.' This is a great foreshadowing. I mean, it refers to Christ and the church. In any case, each of you should love your partner as yourself, with each showing respect for the other." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For the last week or so, I've had an earworm. You know what an earworm is? That's where you have a song that's kind of just stuck in your brain, and it kind of just, you keep hearing it over and over and over. And sometimes it's really annoying. Other times it ends up being part of kind of what you're carrying with you. Anyway, the one that was the earworm I had last week, up until this Sunday, is "Take My Heart, Let It and That I May Be." Take my heart, that I may be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Dun da dun 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 dun. In today's reading, Paul, he talks about making music to God in your hearts. And it just got me thinking about kind of the music, or the, maybe like if you think about our lives are kind of like a song that we're singing. And actually what we say and do is an expression of what's going on in our hearts. And you can, if you watch people long enough and see what they do and how they say and how they are, then you can kind of see what the song is, the melody they're carrying in their heart. And some people very clearly are carrying a melody of, oh, I've got to make money, I've got to make money. And it either shows up as being stressed about money, or shows up as they're just making money and their whole life is about investments and selling things and things like that. And they have this song, I've got to make money, I've got to make money. And, you know, and other folks have, some have songs of just leave me alone, just leave me alone, just leave me alone. And there you can kind of get this standoffishness about them, and they're not very involved in other things. I mean, it's just an interesting inquiry to see what kind of songs that people might be carrying in their hearts that really kind of give almost a blueprint for their lives, whether they know it or not. It just kind of is always there and expresses itself. Now, in this portion of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, he's starting to talk about kind of the implications of things he's been talking about up until now. Of course, Paul began with this kind of reminding us of who Christ is and how Jesus came to reconcile the world, and that we're invited to be part of that reconciling mission, reconciling movement, action that God is doing, and kind of uses the word that we're called to be that. But in order to be that, to be effective and good partners, when I say we, it's in particular the church is called to be that. And so the church needs to be healthy. So he talked about having the health of each other in mind, and saying things and doing things that build each other up, so that we learn to be compassionate with one another, so that we can be compassionate to the world and let folks experience this compassionate, this loving, graceful God that we know. And so Paul calls us into action in service of that, to be this compassionate community. And so he talks about what it looks like to strengthen the relationships and to develop this ability to build one another up and to be connected and reconciled, united, so that we can be in service to God. And now he's starting to kind of to expand that or kind of play it out in our individual lives. So what does it look like, not just in how we are with each other in the congregation, in the church, but also how do we live our lives outside? So it begins with, in verse 15, keep careful watch over your conduct. And it's interesting, the Greek, the word is actually how you walk. Keep careful watch over how you walk through life. And it's a wonderful metaphor. It matters how we go about doing things at our homes, at our workplaces, at our schools, at our recreation, wherever we walk. How do we carry ourselves? And certainly Paul's invitation, informed by who Jesus was and is to be compassionate and kind and to be generous and be respectful. And in particular, he says, don't go about getting drunk all the time. That's debauchery. That gets in the way. It gets in the way of people kind of recognizing in you that there's something different, that you're part of what God is up to. Also says, don't be foolish, but instead focus trying to discern what the will of God is. So it matters how you walk, how you conduct yourself, how you live your life. So it's got to be responsible, because in essence what we do reflects on who we are as Christians, which reflects on God's ability then to reach folks and to reconcile through us as the church. He says, instead of being drunk on wine, be filled with the Spirit. What a marvelous, it's just like, yeah, instead of something that takes away and gets in the way of life, instead, fill yourself up with that which is life-giving and truly fulfilling. He also says, meditate, fill yourself with the Spirit, meditating on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Again, I guess I spent a lot of time with the Greek this week, but in the Greek says, what's translated as meditating is speaking to each other, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Getting into this habit of saying things and talking with one another that not only keep you focused on expression of what's in your heart, but also calls that forth in others. I think it's this beautiful thing about making music to God in your hearts, giving thanks. In the Greek, it actually says making melody in your heart. Making melody in your heart to God in all things. That means as you're going about whatever's coming up, making melody to God. And then he moves on to a particular, my nose itches, I apologize, into a particular application. What does it look like then to be married as a Christian? And this is a passage where it talks about, it uses the dominant metaphor of a marriage should be like Jesus Christ's relationship to the church. That just as Jesus loved the church, so the church also should love Jesus. And this self-sacrifice, this mutual love back and forth. And of course, the love used here is agape. It's this kind of love that looks to the other person's needs and experience, and then responds to that. I mean, we can also call it compassion. It's a willingness to set aside one's particular agenda or needs, or especially wants and desires at the moment, and to look beyond that and say, what is this person in front of me, or what do these people in front of me need? And that's what Jesus did for the world. It's what we respond to in loving Jesus, and also it's how we're called then in our relationships to constantly be looking out for the other, not being in relationships to get what I personally can get out of it, but together to work that true love may abound, that there's this mutual loving back and forth, there's respect back and forth, there's certainly service and even obeying when your partner asks for something, then to respond to that and to accept that request, and likewise for them to accept it. And it's a beautiful image of a dance that can get hard, because sometimes a song that wants to play in our heart is more like, I'm right, I've got to be right. And when that's going on, it's hard to make room for the other person's opinion, or that they might actually be right. There's other times where, you know, sometimes I just get the don't want us. Oh, do I really have to work at the relationship now? You know, and this, I don't want it, you can't make me, I don't want it, you can't make me, kind of is the melody that's flowing in my heart. And it's times like that, or even worse, when all of a sudden I feel, you know, sometimes this, our spouse occurs as somebody that is against us, or, you know, there's this friction there. And instead of that, whatever that melody is, those are the times that we have to be intentional about what melody are we going to make in our heart. And the one that occurred to me is Ubi Caritas. I'll sing the English. Where true charity and love abide, God is dwelling there, God is dwelling there. Think in the midst of your marriage, when there's this separation that's coming, to choose to once again love and be compassionate, true agape love, and the wonderful awareness that when you do that, then it becomes a holy moment once again. Just like those of you who are married, when you were up there at the altar, you made those vows as a holy moment. That we can call that forth with a melody in our heart. I love the Latin. Ubi caritas et amor. Ubi caritas Deus ibi est. Paying attention to what's going on with us, and choosing or claiming or remembering or singing those songs and putting into our hearts and melodies that can bring forth the presence of God and what we need is one of the invitations. It is the invitation that Paul gives us. I mean, like, let's say you're out in nature, of course. I think we have a lot of nature lovers, folks that love to go out and hike. I mean, just the having, when you're out there amongst the mountains and the trees and the streams and the wildlife, you know. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. What a holy moment to be had in nature and in environment and surroundings. There may be other times, though, when we're a little more shaky about where we stand and what we believe in. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. What about the times that kind of aloneness overtakes us, loneliness it takes us? How about a melody like, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a friend. What about those times when being compassionate and kind and understanding are the furthest things from our minds, and we're just angry? And we want revenge. We want people to pay. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Remembering the graciousness of God and God's love for us can remind us that we have the opportunity at any moment to be gracious and loving. What about those times when we don't know what to say? I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else would do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Making music in our hearts to God, making melodies to God, and give thanks in all that we do. This is the work of the church. This is the invitation, the calling. This is one of the ways, if not the primary way, as we live this out, then that people come to know of this God that we know, of this grace and forgiveness. So what song, I know this is a poor imitation of a whole worship service, but would like to sing a complete song, and I'm going to do my best to give you an earworm for the week. It'll be the same one I had last week. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice and let me sing only always for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Amen and peace.